We love being here at Dunning Park Bible Chapel. It's family, and we're very thankful for you guys. And we are going into our summer season at Bear Lake Bible Camp. It's really busy. I had two groups yesterday and a group the day before that. We've got a group coming tomorrow, and so we're really moving into a busy season. So we'd really appreciate your prayer and support as we try to share the gospel with campers and guest groups that come to summer camp at Bear Lake Bible Camp. I'd also like to say congratulations to our graduates. That's an awesome achievement and accomplishment. And I know that while you guys were driving here, you were just really hoping that I would start with a history lesson, because you just want one more history lesson before the end of the year. So you're welcome. You don't have to come say thanks. I'm just going to tell you. Yeah. So behind me here, this is the SS United States. It was built in the late 1940s. It was commissioned by the U.S. government. It was about an $80 million project. It's designed to carry 15,000 troops into war. It's the fastest, most reliable ship in the world at the time. It could go 10,000 miles without refueling, without stopping for supplies. It could outrun any other ship. It could be anywhere in the world in less than 10 days. It completed the transatlantic run in 3.5 days, which is still a record today. But here's the thing. It never, ever carried any troops. It was put on standby once for the Cuban Missile Crisis. It became known as a luxury cruise liner. As a liner, it could carry just over 3,000 passengers, and those passengers enjoyed the first fully air-conditioned ship, along with a lot of other luxurious things. So instead of being an asset of war, it became a means of indulgence. The ship was made for a purpose but was used for another. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at the will of God for our lives, what God has created us to live for, and how we should live our lives. So I remember graduating and being confronted for the first time, really questioning what God's will was for my life. There's lots of decisions to be made. You know, what school are we going to go to? You know, what major are you going to major in? What job do you want? What do you want to be when you grow up? All these sort of decisions. And I wanted to be making sure that I was living in the will of God. So that, I asked that question. Am I living in the way God created me to live? So the Bible actually talks about two different... Let's see if this is going to work here. Where am I pointing? There. God talks about two different aspects of God's will. It talks about his sovereign will, and this refers to God working all things out for his purpose, and God's moral will, and his will for our lives, how to live our lives, and that's found all throughout the Bible. And so turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to start reading at chapter 4. Now, Paul and Silas had spent at least three Sabbaths in Thessalonica, and they left pretty quickly after that. You can read about that, excuse me, in Acts chapter 17. The Thessalonian church didn't get much instruction because they were there for such a short amount of time. They received the word in much affliction. There was actually a guy named Jason who was attacked at his home because he had allowed Paul and Silas to come into his home, and people were accusing him of housing the people that had turned the world upside down. What an awesome thought that is, that you'd be known as someone who turns the world upside down. Paul and Silas were kind of torn away, and they longed to see the Thessalonian church, but Satan hindered them from going, and so they sent Timothy to establish and exhort them. And so here we are at chapter 4. Let's read starting at verse 1. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that you, as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. It's so great when it's so like clearly spelled out. That's great. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit. So what is the will of God for your life? It very clearly says in verse chapter 3 here, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now, what does sanctification mean? If this is the will of God, I need to know what this means for my life. Justification is the declaration of righteousness. So this happens when someone believes in Jesus. They are declared as righteous. God looks at them and sees a holy, blameless, and righteous person because of Christ's finished work on the cross. Justification is different than sanctification. Sanctification is the process that begins after we have believed in Jesus and become born-again Christian. It's the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. So the will of God is that we would become more and more like Jesus. If our sanctification is the will of God, then how does that look like in our lives? And you may have thought that Paul would have started with more outward types of sins that are more noticeable, such as sinning in anger, controlling your tongue, but he doesn't. That's not where he starts. He starts with a more private aspect of our lives, and this is because what you do in private shows the state of your heart. Sanctification is about heart change that leads to life change. It is possible to behave in the right way and yet have a sinful attitude or a sinful motivation behind that behavior, and the Pharisees are a prime example of this. What you do in secret shows you the state of your heart. Our hearts are desperately in need of change. And this is what Paul is getting at. Every part of our lives needs to be sanctified and come under the authority of Christ, even the part that is not public. Dr. Heath Lambert has said, oh, I'm going a little too far here. Dr. Heath Lambert says, God is not interested in empowering your fight for purity while protecting your pride. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. You need to tell someone about the struggles of your life. Scripture commands us to confess our sins to one another. And I'd encourage you guys to confess your sins to one another. It is God's will that we would live a life of sexual purity. God created sex as good and pure. God designed sex to happen in marriage between a husband who is male and a wife who is female, and any sexual behavior outside of this design is sexual immorality. The way that we use our body is a reflection of our knowledge of God and our relationship with God. What else does sanctification look like? It looks like listening to God. In verse 8, it says, therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. How do we listen to God? Listening to God is a requirement of sanctification, because if you don't know how God is speaking to you or what he desires for our life, then how can we ever change? So how do we listen to God? We read Scripture. This here is the Word of God. This is how God speaks to us. And reading the Word of God, taking that in, letting our heart and our mind be renewed by the Word of God helps us to live a life of holiness. So renew your mind by memorizing Scripture. I've hid your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And then repent of sin that the Word of God exposes in your life. What else does the Bible say about how to live under God's will? Let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. 19 through 23 here is where we're going to read. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Oftentimes, sexual immorality is done in the name of love, but really it is the antithesis of love, which is the foremost fruit of the Spirit. Deep-rooted hatred, conforming to the world, bitter disagreements, selfish ambition. Whenever we desire something that more than we desire God, we fall into idolatry. All of these things are the works of the flesh and are not honoring to God. But let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love. How are you doing? Are you loving as Christ has loved you? Christ loved us even when we were his enemies. Even when we were in active rebellion against God, do you love like that? Joy. How are you doing? Are you eternally focused? Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and protector of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God, having that eternal focus. Peace. Do you bring peace to the people around you? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Patience. Are you patient as the Lord is patient with you? 2 Peter 3:15, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Kindness. The kindness of God is meant to lead people to repentance. Does your kindness to others encourage repentance in the lives of those around you? Goodness. Jesus says only God is good. Are you imitating Jesus well? Faithfulness. Are you faithful as Christ is faithful to keep his promises to us? Gentleness. Do you have a gentle and merciful spirit? Self-control. Do you find yourself speaking out of your stress, out of your anger? Do you find yourself being controlled by entertainment, work, fear of man? We know we are walking in the will of God when we are no longer walking in the works of the flesh, but are instead living in step with the Spirit. This should be happening in increasing measure in our lives. And to be honest with you, when I look at the list, we just went through a huge list, I see myself as an utter failure. I have not followed the will of God, and neither have you. And I know it can feel at times that we are enslaved to this sin, but I do have good news. We have not followed the will of God, but there is a person who has perfectly followed the will of God, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is God. He lived a perfect and holy life. He lived a life that we should have lived. He died the death that we should have died. He was nailed to the cross and bore the wrath of God that we fully deserved. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, defeating Satan, sin, and death. And now, if we believe in Jesus, we will have a right relationship with God for eternity. And the same Holy Spirit who empowered the life of Christ will dwell within you so that you are no longer a slave to sexual immorality, no longer a slave to impurity, no longer a slave to sensuality, sorcery, idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. You are no longer a slave to sin, but you are now a slave to righteousness, and you are a child of God. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, and you are no longer bound by the power of sin. You are bound in the loving and secure arms of Christ. If you need to make a decision to believe in Jesus today, I'd encourage you and plead with you to please make that decision today. Come find myself or Josh. There's people here that would love to talk with you about what it means to believe in Jesus. Jesus loves you and died on the cross for you, to have a relationship with you. This is the will of God. for our life, that you would be sanctified, that you would grow in the likeness of Christ more and more, that you would abstain from the desires of the flesh, and that you would walk in the Spirit. Now, turn back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 now. Let's start reading at verse 23. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and his perfect life, his death, his resurrection, Lord. And now, because of his finished work on the cross, we have nothing to add. We just must believe in you to have a relationship with you. God, we just ask that specifically for these graduates as they open a new chapter of life, that you would be working in their hearts, working in their minds, that they would be people who seek your will for their life, that they would make decisions that are honoring to you, that they would be conformed to the image and likeness of Christ, so that when people see them and talk with them and know them, Lord, that they would be influenced by your love that is working in them. We thank you for all the things that you're doing in our own hearts, Lord, and specifically for those who are not graduating today, we ask the same thing, that we would be conformed more and more to your likeness, that when people see us and talk with us and know us, that they would experience the love of Christ that is working in us. We thank you for who you are and all that you've done. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.